ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. So we are seeing in this fourth chapter how all the religious disciplines practiced, any action performed to live this life, any form of worship we do, everything that we do becomes a worship, yajnaha, if our goal of life is moksha, and if you are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth. It's not mere commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth. The commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth also results in the very way of life we live. In keeping with the Shastra's teaching, converts everything that we do in our life into a worship, which is a yajnaha. Therefore, Krishna talks about many yajnas here. Even the efforts we make to have mental discipline called the shamaha, or shantihi, is a yajna. Therefore, having mastery or ways of thinking is a yajna. And having mastery over our sense organs is a yajna. Even perception of objects in life, keeping, once you wake up from sleep and your sense organs are open, they're functional, and thereby the mind comes in contact with the external world of objects, and the perception takes place, knowledge takes place. The perception of world of fivefold objects through fivefold sense organs is also yajna, worship. So any religious discipline, austerity is practiced, is a worship. Everything becomes worship if we do anything remembering in our mind always that I am doing everything and anything for preparing my mind for knowledge, because what I want in life is knowledge. Ultimately, knowledge is what I'm ultimate is going to give me. Knowledge alone will help me take ownership of fullness, which is my choiceless end and which is my own real nature. It is not simply going to the temple or simply chanting of verses, practicing mantras, but anything I do, anything I do becomes a worship if my focus is on antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naishchalyam, mental preparation for knowledge. If I give as much importance for preparing my mind for knowledge as I give for, as much importance I give for knowledge. I don't take mental preparedness, I do not take it for granted. Because I do not take knowledge for granted. Because moksha is, I'm very serious about moksha. Because I know it is my choiceless end. Therefore, I'm very serious about my pursuit of knowledge. I live my life. I don't live seriously. I live relaxed life. But at the same time, my seriousness, my commitment to accomplish my end in terms of moksha, in terms of knowledge, and thereby my commitment is to the mental preparation required for jnana. Therefore, I live my life relaxed, but in keeping with the teaching of the Shastra. Therefore, when my will is surrendered to Dharma, Bhagavan in the form of order, when my actions are consciously, carefully performed in conformity with Dharma, then everything I do becomes a worship, yajna. For we have seen all those different yajnas. Now today we have to move on to the 28th verse. Dravya yajnas tapo yajna, yoga yajnas tatha pare. Dravya yajnas tapo yajna, yoga yajnas tatha pare. Swadhyaya jnana yajnascha, swadhyaya jnana yajnascha, yataya samshitavrataha. Swadhyaya jnana yajnascha, yataya samshitavrataha. So here, yatayaha is a plural word. The people of appropriate, adequate efforts are yatayaha. And what a singular word, yatihi. Ikarantaha pullingaha yati shabdaha. Like harihi. So yatihi, yati, yatayaha. So yatihi, singular word, yatayaha, plural word. Yatayaha means men of, people of appropriate, adequate efforts. And samshitavrataha. Samshitavrataha means who are of very firm resolve. So men of appropriate efforts, adequate efforts, who are of very firm resolve, samshitavrataha. Whose resolve is highly praiseworthy. So firm resolve. And these people, or Dravya Yajnaha, Dravya Yajnaha. Dravya Yajnaha means what? Dravyam means wealth, assets. Yajnaha means worship. So Dravya Yajnaha means people who are highly charitable. Therefore, the being charitable itself is also a worship. Without Purusharta Nischayaha, without the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, as a highly compassionate person, however charitable a person is, it's a punya karma. It's a good deed. He will earn lot of punyam for being charitable, for sharing his wealth through charity activities. But we cannot call the charitable activity a yajna. But here, even the activities, the charitable activities become worship. They were people for whom even charity becomes a worship. Then, tapo yajnaha. Tapas means austerity, penance, which means again a religious discipline. And all the religious disciplines practiced become yajnaha, worship, only if there is a purushartha nischayaha. The knowledge is the ultimate goal and mental preparation is the indirect goal. Because there are a lot of people who also practice religious disciplines in order to earn punyam, adequate punyam, to go to higher lokas, to enjoy other benefits in life. Sometimes people practice religious disciplines without purushartha nischaya to earn punyam for other artha kamas. Therefore, and these people, for people, tapas tapo yajnaha, people who are given to the practice of these austerities and which itself becomes yajnaha. So tapo yajnaha, we have yoga yajnaha. Even practice of other disciplines which come under the heading of yoga, even that becomes a discipline. Practice of pranayama, practice of yogasana, practice of meditation, all that becomes a yajna. I'm talking about practice of meditation before the attainment of knowledge. Saguna Brahma Upasanam, that meditation, pranayama, dharana, dhyana, etc., everything becomes yajna. Then swadhyaya jnana yajnascha. Then swadhyaya yajnaha. Study of scriptures. Even studying Bhagavad Gita, chanting the mantras, repeating the repetition of the mantras, repeatedly uttering the Veda mantras, etc. Swadhyaya becomes a yajna. In fact, swadhyaya means regularly studying the chant chanting the Veda mantras of a given shakha of the Veda, given branch of a Veda, is called Swadhyaya. So without knowing the meaning, learning to chant the mantras correctly and chanting the mantras properly, repeatedly, thereby memorizing them, is called Swadhyaya. Then later on, understand the meaning of those mantras by analyzing the meanings is called Mimamsa. So even that Swadhyaya here is, we can take it as study of the scriptures here. So regularly, until knowledge takes place, until I become qualified for contemplation, until I become contemplative, until I have the assimilated vision, regularly if I'm given to the study of anything, including the Shastram, like this, even this study also becomes Ayajna. So Swadhyaya, and Jnana Yajna means being given to the study of the scriptures systematically, regularly, for length of time, with the help of a competent teacher, is itself called Jnana Yajna. So doing the proper Shravanam Mananam is a Jnana Yajna. It's also what? A yajna. So, this is the literal meaning. Okay? Now you know, Dravya yajna, Tapo yajna, Yoga yajna, Swadhyaya yajna, Jnana yajna. There are five yajnas mentioned in this verse 28. So, Krishna mentions five disciplines here as spiritual disciplines. A discipline itself is known as discipline only when it contributes for preparing the mind for knowledge of the truth, which is a spiritual pursuit. So the first is Dravya Yajna. I think I've discovered this already. So Dravya Yajna means, I've explained to you already. So even though the word Dravyam literally means wealth, it's not just the wealth alone. Anything you're able to share, what you have, with other people who are needy, it is a Dravya Yajna. If you give time, if you give money, if you give food, if you give wealth, anything you share, what others need, thereby it is a Dravya Yajna. So any charitable act, if you build schools, if you contribute for public, any social service activity, it is a Dravya Yajna only. Now, that in India, we call those activities as Bhuta Karma. Building hospitals, giving medication, all lots of social service activities also come under the category of Dravya Yajna only. I don't want to elaborate on these things. Now you understood. I'm going to move on to the next verse. We have covered this already, 28 we completed. Okay, 29th verse.
Apane juhvati pranam, pranepanam tathapare, pranapanagati rudhva, प्राणायाम परायणाः अपाने जुह्वति प्राणम् प्राणे पानम् तथा परे प्राणापानगति रुद्ध्वा प्राणायाम परायणाः.
सो प्राणायाम परायणाः. सी परायणम् मीन्स् अयनम् मीन्स् एंड गोल. पर अयनम् मीन्स् अल्टिमेट गोल. पर प्लस अयनम् परायणम् नॉट पारायणम्. ओके बी केयरफुल. पारायणम् मीन्स् चांटिंग. पारायणम् मीन्स् चांटिंग. पर अयनम् मीन्स् अल्टिमेट गोल. மேலான கதி பர அயனம் தி அல்டிமேட் கோல். அண்ட் சம்டைம்ஸ் இஃப் ஐ எம் கமிட்டட் டு டூ சம்திங் தென் தட் இஸ் ஆல்சோ வாட் ஐ எம் கமிட்டட் டு ஆல்சோ கேன் பி செட் டு பி பராயணம். இஃப் ஐ எம் கமிட்டட் டு ஃபாலோ ஸ்ட்ரிக்ட்லி ஏகாதசி விரதம் ஏகாதசி விரத பாராயணா. பிளீஸ் ரிமெம்பர் பாராயணம் மீன்ஸ் சாண்டிங். பர அயனம் பராயணம் மீன்ஸ் ஃபைனல் கோல் ஆர் தி ஃபைனல் கோல் தி அல்டிமேட் கோல் இஸ் கால்ட் பராயணம் அப்சல்யூட் எண்ட் which is moksha. We are all moksha parayanaha. Moksha paraha param ayanam yasya. The one for whom moksha is the ultimate goal, we can call that person moksha parayanaha. Jnanam is the ultimate goal, we call him jnana parayanaha. யஸ்ய ஞானம் பரம் அயனம் சஹ ஞான பராயணஹ. யஸ்ய மோக்ஷஹ பரம் அயனம் சஹ மோக்ஷ பராயணஹ. யஸ்ய போஜனம் பரம் அயனம் சஹ போஜன பராயணஹ. யஸ்ய நித்ரா பரம் அயனம் சக நித்ர பராயணஹ. ஈட்டிங் ஐஸ்கிரீம் யஸ்ய பரம் அயனம் சரி ஐஸ்கிரீம் ஈட்டிங் பராயணஹ. சோ பரம் அயனம் மீன்ஸ் அப்சல்யூட் எண்ட் அண்ட் வீர் ஆல் ஞான பராயணாக மோக்ஷ பராயணாக தர்ம பராயணாக தர்ம அனுஷ்டான பராயணாக பகவத் பராயணாக. ஃபார் மீ பகவான் இஸ் தி அல்டிமேட் கோல் பகவத் பராயணாக. சோ பராயணம் மீன்ஸ் அப்சல்யூட் எண்ட். சம்டைம்ஸ் தி வேர்ட் பராயணம் இஸ் ஆல்சோ யூஸ்ட் டு மீன் எனி திங் வி ஆர் சீரியஸ்லி கமிட்டட். Sometimes it also means we are very seriously committed to practice something, that becomes our parayanam. It is like another meaning. But ekadashi vrata parayanaha means what? This person is very seriously practicing ekadashi vrata. Whatever it is, every ekadashi this person follows nirjala upavasaha. Means without even drinking water. That's not true. People drink some water and juice and fruit and all those things. I'm just saying. Some people strictly. Those days my grandparents and I used to follow like that. Don't ask me whether I'm following Nirjala. No. Nirjala means without even drinking water. Okay. know what I'm saying? That is like, suppose walking parayanaha, very strict, whatever it is. Every day, I make it a point to go for a walk. Walking parayanaha. Okay? It's not the ultimate, but still I'm very serious in practicing something. Like that, there are some people who are seriously given to the discipline of practicing pranayama. They are all called pranayama parayanaha. Pranayamaha param ayanam yasya. Pranayamaha param ayanam yesham. Te pranayama parayanaha. Okay, pranayama parayanaha. So, now this pranayama, it is, Krishna says, if a person practices anything including pranayama, but having moksha as a moksha parayanaha, as a jnana parayanaha, and whatever he practicing, that becomes a yajnaha. So here he mentions pranayama. So he says, apare. See, apane, tatha pare. Tatha, in the same way, like how others are given to practice different other practices. Apane pranam juhvati. Juhvati means offer. Apanaha means the function of inhalation. Pranaha means exhalation. So pragamanavan vayuhu pranaha. See, literally, we say prana vayuhu literally means oxygen. So pranaha is a one word simply used to mean any respiration in general. But here, when you talk along with the apana, pragamanavan vayuhu pranaha, adhogamanavan vayuhu apanaha. So we say apanaha takes care of the excretory system, which governs the excretory system is called apanaha. But we take it as respiration, as one function. In the function of respiration, apana is the function of inhalation, adogamanavan vayuhu. And pranaha means function of exhalation. So here Krishna says, what is pranayama? You're constantly consciously inhaling the air and consciously holding the breath and consciously exhaling is what? Prana ayamaha. Ayamaha means exercise. Prana ayamaha means breathing exercise. So prana ayamaha is called pranayamaha. Whether we do it consciously or not, constantly there is inhalation, exhalation happens. And people who want to calm their mind, who are highly restless, they're not able to manage their, in spite of knowing the value of managing the emotions, managing the thoughts, and in spite of like dharma also, sometimes the thought frequencies, thoughts are too many. and they want to really manage the thought flow, and they want to keep the thought flow in check, and the Shastram prescribes a discipline of pranayamaha. Pranayamaha will not remove our ignorance because it is an action. Pranayamaha will not give you moksha. But pranayamaha is a very good breathing exercise. It will contribute for physical well-being. Very good exercise. At the same time, it also helps you to manage your thought flow. So if a too restless minded person, if he really is given to the discipline of pranayama, practice seriously, and definitely he can maintain the thought flow. Why? Because in pranayama, already always we are breathing. We are inhaling, exhaling. Whether we are conscious or not conscious, we are breathing all the time. That's why we are alive. But pranayama means consciously breathing is pranayama. Which means paying your attention to your inhalation and exhalation is pranayama. So you consciously inhale, consciously exhale. And in between inhalation and exhalation, you hold the breath consciously for a few seconds. It is called pranayama. When you inhale, it is called purakam. Purakam in inhalation, when you're inhaling the oxygen, your lungs expand and oxygen goes and fills your lungs. So filling is called purakam. Purayati iti purakam. Oxygen purayati. Then again you hold the breath after filling, not for long hours and hours, few seconds you try to hold the breath after filling. And that you holding the breath after purakam is called kumbhakam. Antah kumbhakam. Kumbhakam means holding the breath. Then when you find it difficult to hold anymore, and slowly you exhale, the exhalation of carbon dioxide means the lungs contract and all the carbon dioxide comes out, which is then what happens? Lungs become empty. So emptying the lungs is called a rechakam. So rikta means emptied. Rikti karoti means empties. Okay, emptying the mind. So rechakam. And after emptying the lungs, after in exhaling the carbon dioxide, again hold the breath for a few seconds. As long as you can. Which is called Bahya Kumbhakam. So kumbhakam before, after inhalation, there's a kumbhakam. After exhalation, there's a kumbhakam. Inhalation is purakam. Exhalation is rechakam. And when you're doing it, you're not mechanically inhaling, exhaling. You're consciously exhaling, inhaling. This is the basis of pranayama exercise. And so there's ways of doing, and the people who is, and any exercise, any yogic practices, we should learn properly from a teacher and learn. But being given to study of Vedanta, you must be very careful. Why in the sense? people without being given study of Vedanta, if they simply teach yoga, they may tell you yoga is everything. And anything you practice is a change, it gives you some pleasure. We may get carried away by those things. We should know the importance and value of all the yogic disciplines. At the same time, we should know the limitation of everything. Finally, for my moksha, I need only jnanam. And for jnanam, shastram, Vedanta is the pramanam. And for the shastra study to be effective, I must be mentally prepared, pure and steady, for which I need to live a life of dharma. And all other disciplines are important, everything ultimately only for preparing my mind. They cannot remove my ajnana. With understanding, if you practice anything, it becomes a yajna. Suppose the question comes, should I practice all these disciplines strictly, definitely for preparing my mind? No, not necessary. Living your day-to-day life consciously in conformity with dharma, with a proper attitude, worshipfully, prayerfully, is enough. It is not a must you should practice pranayama. But it is not that you should not practice at all. If necessary, you can practice pranayama also. But because we are studying properly shastram, everything is touched here. And Krishna says in this verse, apane pranam juhvati apare, apane pranam juhvati. So juhvati is a verb, pranam object, apare subject, apare other people, pranam juhvati. Other people offer the function of exhalation into what? Apane. Into the function of, into the fire, which is the function of inhalation. Tatha. Similarly, apanam prane apanam prane, then they offer the function of inhalation into the fire of function of exhalation. What does it mean? Here you see both the functions as one function as an oblation, another function as a fire. When you inhale, the inhalation becomes the offering and the exhalation becomes the fire. When you exhale, exhalation becomes the offering. Inhalation becomes the fire. It just is symbolic, okay? You are looking at the inhalation, exhalation, the pranayama, respiration as a yajna. Therefore, it is said, there's no real fire here. There's no offering here. Even being given to the discipline of practicing the breathing exercise, called pranayama, your inhalation and exhalation itself becomes a worship, a yajna, a fire ritual. A worship performed in the home of a fire ritual. Then you look at this, when you're inhaling, your breathing becomes yajna. When you're inhaling, the inhalation becomes offering, exhalation becomes fire. When you're exhaling, exhalation becomes offering, inhalation becomes fire. Like this, prana apana gati rudhva. Rudhva means stopping, restraining the prana and apana. When you stop, when you hold the breath, rudhva means holding the breath, thereby stopping, restraining the prana apana gati. Gati means movement. Gati dual, okay? Prana gatihi, apana gatihi. Dual prana apana gati. Gatihi gati gatayaha. Dual there. So, holding the breath, how? Thereby, you stop the prana gati and you stop the apana gati. When there's kumbhakam, after exhalation, there's a bahya kumbhakam. After inhalation, there's a antah kumbhakam. When you do, it's what now? Holding the breath is kumbhakam. That's called prana apana gati rudhva. So stopping the prana apana, restraining the movement of prana and apana, inhalation, exhalation. Sometimes we practice pranayama. Is it clear now? So prana apana gati rudhva means that this with the kumbhakam, with the inhalation, exhalation and holding the breath. So purakam, rechakam, kumbhakam. See, purakam, kumbhakam, rechakam, kumbhakam. Purakam, kumbhakam, rechakam, kumbhakam. Again, purakam, kumbhakam, rechakam, kumbhakam. Is it clear? Clear or not? This is called pranayama, basic pranayama. And some people who are committed to the practice of this pranayama, and even this becomes a yajnaha, pranayama yajnaha. For whom it becomes a yajna? Only for people who have purushartha nischayaha. People who are 100% definite about the purpose of living this human life, being the accomplishment of moksha. Thereby who are committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth, Bhagavan. Thereby who are committed to live a life of dharma to prepare their mind for jnana. Only for such people, even the practice of pranayama becomes a worship. Is it clear? See, prana gati rodha means restraining the inhalation, exhalation for a moment. Apana gati rodaha, then restraining the inhalation for some time. Not for hours means you will go, okay? You can't do that. This is called prana apana gati rodaha, rudhva. So before and after inhaling and exhaling, restraining the breath for some time and practicing this breathing exercise is also yajnaha. Is it clear? Okay. So pranayamaha is also an important, useful, effective discipline. We can call it a spiritual discipline only if you practice it with Purusharth Nischaya. Otherwise, it is a mere exercise. When can you call something a sadhana? Sadhana means a spiritual discipline. You can call it a simple exercise with a Purusharth Nischaya exercise. With the Purusharth Nischaya, it is a spiritual sadhana, spiritual discipline. Pursuit must be spiritual pursuit, spiritual end, only then it's a spiritual sadhana. Why it is an important discipline? Because when we study the Shastram, one of the prakriyas prescribed, one of the important prakriyas to understand the method of unfoldment, to understand the truth as our own real nature, is panchakosha prakriya, analysis of five layers of personality. And in analyzing five layers, first we analyze the annamaya koshaha, the outermost gross layer of personality, which is the physical body. Then after analyzing and understanding the physical body, what we next analyze is the pranamaya koshaha, the physiological layer of personality, which is called the energy layer of personality. And pranaha, one word pranaha we use. The pranaha is nothing but one vital air, a vital force. And this one prana is given five different functional names because it governs five different functions. As pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. And after analyzing the pranamaya kosha, then we move on to the analysis of the manomaya, which is a psychological layer of personality or emotional layer of personality. This prana is in between the manaha and shariram. So pranaha is in between the mind and the physical body. Mind is subtler than prana. Therefore, to manage the thought flow, to discipline the psychological layer of personality, it's always recommended to discipline the pranamaya, the physiological layer of personality. Because prana is in between. And this practice of pranayama, thereby disciplining the pranamaya, will help both the physical body and the mind in between. There is a nyaya called Dehali Deepa Nyaya. An analogy. Dehali Deepa Nyaya means, in olden days in villages, we never used to have electric lamps and all. So there was a threshold. You put one lamp, the threshold lamp, and it will illumine outside and inside. So outside the room, inside the room also. The threshold lamp. It's called Dehali Deepa. Nyaya. Similarly, if we practice pranayama, because prana is in between the gross body and the subtler mind. Therefore, it will be useful, you know, it will be effective in terms of the physical well-being and the mental well-being. It will be effective for both physical and emotional well-being. This Dehali Deepa Nyaya we also use in some other context. Okay. I'm just using it here. Which means it is good for physical well-being and emotional well-being. So if you see people who are given to this performance of rituals, and they're supposed to practice pranayama as important discipline before every ritual. Suppose if you see, I don't know whether it's, if you're exposed to seeing people doing pujas, in any puja, when the priests come, they first invoke the grace of Lord Ganapati, Vigneshwara, as a remover of obstacles. And then they have to recite some mantras and shlokas. Then, as soon as they invoke the grace of Mahaganapati, the Lord as a remover of obstacles, the first thing they do is, you know, pranayama. All the priests, they won't do very long pranayama. Quickly they do pranayama. They do this, like this. If you happen to go to pujas hereafter, notice when the priests come. Whether it's a marriage, it's a housewarming ceremony, any function they do, and this first to invoke the grace of the Lord as a remover of obstacles, then first, immediately after that, they do pranayama. Briefly they do. Just to emphasize the importance that prana being in between the grossest layer and the subtle layer, it contributes for the well-being of both. And pranayama also is also twofold. Pranayama can be practiced as a physical exercise for the physical well-being. When pranayama is practiced as a physical exercise for physical well-being, it is called a secular discipline. But our shastram does not prescribe pranayama for practicing it as a mere secular discipline. Of course, the shastra's aim is to help us all ultimately accomplish jnanam for moksha. I remind you all the time, name of the Veda, Shruti Mata. Mother always wants us ultimately to be happy. Ultimately, mother's is interested only in our absolute well-being. Therefore, and that is possible only in jnanam. Therefore, shastram expects that we must be able to convert everything we do into a sacred discipline, not a secular discipline. Everything must be converted into a sacred discipline. A sacred discipline means a religious discipline. So pranayama also is supposed to be a sacred discipline. That is why whenever pranayama is practiced, we are always asked to, say some mantras. When you consciously inhale, you are supposed to say a name of a Lord. When consciously exhale, you're supposed to utter some nama. So in tradition, there is a mantra to be recited, chanted during pranayama practice. But if we do not know the traditional mantra, what you are supposed to chant during pranayama, then we utter any name of the Lord. Then people say some mantras to chant. If a pranayama is practiced, inhalation and exhalation are practiced, done consciously with the mantra, then the such a pranayama practice along with the mantra is called Sagarbha Pranayamaha. Sagarbha Pranayama is a sacred discipline which is a spiritual discipline. Because goal is spiritual end, spiritual goal, moksha, jnanam. If without the mantra, without even simple name of the Lord, if it is practiced, it is agarbha pranayamaha. So agarbha pranayamaha, with the purushartana, without purushartana nischeha, if it is practiced, it is agarbha pranayamaha, which means it will not contribute for mental preparation. It will do, definitely it will do some good. It will keep you mentally calm, relatives, you know, for a length of time. It is effective. It will be useful. It will help you to be mentally calm, relatively. It's good for your physical health also. But it will not be called a yoga. It cannot be called a yoga. Because you have no purushartha nischayaha. Therefore, because there's no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, it will give you temporarily it will keep you healthy mentally and physically. But in the long run, it cannot help you in preparing mind for jnana. Because no jnanam is possible. Because there's no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. Okay. So, sagarbha pranayamaha, agarbha pranayamaha. Therefore, when does it, the pranayama becomes a worship? A yajna, a fire worship performed in the form of a fire ritual is called yajna. And here, when does pranayama becomes a yajna? Only if it is practiced with the purushartha nischayaha. You must be very clear. Pranayamaha will not remove my ignorance. Pranayama will not take me any distance from where I am. But still, I know the limitation of pranayama. At the same time, I know the advantage of pranayama. I know what it can do, what it cannot do. I'm practicing it to keep my physical body healthy and to maintain my mental well-being, ultimately to prepare my mind for jnanam. I'm doing everything ultimately for jnanam. Because jnanam is moksha. Consciously remembering this fact, if we do, pranayama becomes ayajna. So, pranayama is not such a small thing. Pranayama by itself is an amazing, very big pranayama itself is something very huge thing to be understood. It's an ocean-like thing. So much of discussions are there on pranayama. There's so many books on pranayama. And actually pranayama, a person is interested, is given to only for pranayama. Pranayama, pranayama. All about pranayama I want to know. Okay. So, people can go and spend years and years study a lot about pranayama with the proper teachers who are profound knowledge all about pranayama, great yogis. But those practices, you know, which means the elaborate understanding and practice of pranayama is actually meant for accomplishment of material ends. The people talk about Kriya Yoga, Kundalini Yoga, so many yogas. So all those actually disciplines involve only this channelizing the pranic energy, the potential, highly potential one is this pranic energy, pranic, prana shaktihi. Why prana shaktihi? You know, is called kundalini. Kundalini means, I don't know whether you have seen jalebi. You know, how it is round and round and round, isn't it? So, they call it also the serpent power. Why serpent power? Because serpent, it coils, na? It turns round and round and it sits like this. Therefore, serpent power means not, there's no serpent or anything. Because it is a coiled power. And when you see a coil, there must be power. Because when you remove the coil, what happens? The spring, when you take the spring and stretch it, it's, you know, it has power. A spring stretched reveals, you know, releases power. A spring, when stretched, releases power. Similarly, this prana shakti also releases power. Therefore, please understand, when the spring stretched releases power, and this prana shakti also releases power, because all it's a potential power. Therefore, the coil, the serpent, actually implies potentiality. Potential. Potency. That's why in Kundalini Shaktihi implies means the total potential, total potential power. It means total prana shaktihi, purna prana shaktihi. And it is this prana shaktihi is likened, likened to a snake, serpent. Because just as the snake always, the serpent, remains itself, remains keeping its head above, it remains in a coiled form. So, kundalam, even people's earrings is called kundalam. Karna kundalam. They say, if the people say some wrong stuff, big ones called karna kundalam. And if it is a circle form, round form, it's called kundalam. So the energy coiled and remaining in circle form, is a circle form or anything. The unused potential energy is taken to be in circle form. Therefore, it is called Kundalini Shaktihi. Please understand, the power is not in circle form. There is no form for the Shakti. It is a potential unused energy and is said to be taken to be in circle form. Unreleased energy is taken to be in circle form. So unreleased energy, which is taken to be in circle form, therefore it is called Kundalini. There is no circle, there is no thing, okay? All needs to be understood correctly. It is not Kundalini yoga class or anything, but still I am explaining to you just to make you understand. Why Kundalini Shaktihi? Suppose the word Shaktihi, Pashivaha, masculine gender word. Shaktihi is a feminine gender word. Therefore, Shaktihi is in feminine gender, is a feminine gender word. Shaktihi, ikarantaha, strilingaha, shakti shabdaha. Therefore, no. Kundalamiva Shaktihi, Kundalini Shaktihi. So it's in Sthilinga Shabda. Again, Kundalini is Ikaranta Sthilinga Shabda. Kundalini Shaktihi. What does it mean? Please understand, there's no circle or anything. The unreleased total potential, okay, the total energy, purna prana shakti, is taken to be in circle form. Therefore, it is called Kundalini shakti. But when by practice it is gradually released, like what? Just as the power is released when the spring is stretched. So also, we can see more power ji being released. Therefore, it's very important to understand here, it is not Kundalini Shaktihi is not that only Shaktihi. Is not a unique thing. Why? Because there is Shaktihi. Kundalini is a Prana Shakti. What about the physical Shakti, energy? What about the Manas Shakti? Every layer of personality. There is a Shaktihi at every level, okay? At the level of every layer of personality. Which means what? Not only Prana Shaktihi. We only understand Prana Shakti is said to be Kundalini Shaktihi. Unreleased energy. This unreleased energy on the part of the body, unreleased energy on the part of the mind, unreleased energy on the part of the intellect, unreleased energy, okay, at the part of even Andamaya. At the, every layer of personality, there is unreleased energy. But Kundalini is only a name given to the Prana Shakti here. Therefore, it is not the only thing. Please understand. The Shakti, the whole all, Shakti is there in everything. You are seeing, in seeing there's a Shakti, in hearing there's a Shakti, in smelling there's a Shakti, the power, in speaking there's a Shakti, isn't it? In talking, walking, sitting, in fact, every action, every movement, every motion on your part is what? Shakti, power. We have abundance of power. And all the Shakti remains unreleased. Some power is released. Therefore, the more disciplined we are, more power we can tap. The more power we have, the more power we can tap. Therefore, the power is there, unreleased power. It is released means the power has to become manifest. The unreleased power is unmanifest power. The released power is manifest power. But for the power to be released, for the power to become manifest, for the unreleased to become released, for the unmanifest to become manifest, at every level, we need to be disciplined. This is the secret of following the disciplines. Therefore, Pranamayaha Koshaha, the physiological layer of personality, has this, you know, on the part of physiological layer of personality, there is a power. There is a unreleased potential. Similarly, on this physiological layer of, psychological layer of personality called Manomayaha, there is an unreleased power. In terms of memory power, Smarana Shaktihi, Smarana Shaktihi. And as we are aging, we develop what? Dementia means what? Dementia is nothing but losing our Smarana Shakti. If we carefully, that's why living a life of Dharma helps you use the memory power, Smarana Shakti. That's why living a life of dharma means living your life consciously. And living your life consciously means what? Living your life consciously means making use of your smarana shakti. And making use of your smarana shakti means what? Keeping it alive, having it always released and manifest. Which means you're always sharp, always alert. Therefore, dementia will keep away from you. You don't need to keep dementia away. Dementia will keep away from you. That's why we always say do some consciously japa, do anything consciously. So we will have very good memory power. We forget. Okay. That's why it's all disciplined life. Means we will be intellectually sharp. That's why we always say intellectual sharpness, emotional stability. For both, we are supposed to live a life of dharma. Anyway, what I want to say is this, I've taken it to somewhere, but I want to tell you all the connected things, because people take pranayama as the end of everything. That's not true. At the same time, I'm not belittling. Pranayama is very important, but what are we using this for? Must be very, how I am using it must be very, we should remember. So in the whole world, we see there is Shakti only. Every plant is Shakti, every tree is Shakti, animal is Shakti, everything is Shakti here. Therefore, some people, they talk about the chakras, and they discuss chakra meditation, etc. And this meditation, actually, they say, by practicing this, one can tap their prana shakti. It means they can get it released. And the released prana shakti is supposed to, you know, travel, flow through all these chakras. Not downwards, it has to go upwards. So that it can reach Sahasrara, and it will bless them with some. Then when they have released a lot of energy, and they'll be blessed with lot of occult powers called Siddhayaha, Siddhis. So Siddhis, not really ordinary arthakamas in life, Siddhis can get them, or some other supernatural powers also they can get. But it's not for, we are not interested in powers. There's no moksha in getting any powers. There's no jnanam in getting any powers. Therefore, should remember, it's only for, ultimately, we need jnanam. We should not forget this. Okay, I think I have said enough of this. We'll go to next one. Okay, time now. I'm sorry about it today. I had to say so much. I just take a little out of this verse. Sorry about it. But I don't feel guilty about it. I thought I should tell, because everywhere people are so much carried away by this chakra meditation. I'm not belittling anything. And one more thing, these chakra meditation, people give different names, all modern names, all non-traditional Avaidika names. And then people are all interested only in meditation. They are interested in jnanam or moksha. They want to meditate. What is meditation for? There's no understanding. Some people say meditation is for knowing the truth. Meditation is the only way. Studying shastram is a useless thing. Living life of dharma, who cares? Many people are interested in all these things. That's why I just was tempted to say, talk about all these things. So people always go for this, that meditation, this meditation. I tell you, even this meditation, even though it will not give you jnanam and moksha, and when people are practicing this, they should really be very serious and learn with the proper teachers. You don't know who the proper teachers are nowadays. Sometimes they don't know how to, they raise the prana. It's all, see, the prana shakti flowing through chakras and all, only, it's all in your understanding. There's no, if you dissect and see, there's no chakra. It's all it's a technique prescribed, that's all. And people think, and they really, it flows, and if they don't know how to bring it down, it's stuck somewhere. They don't, these, they should be learned properly with proper teachers. Otherwise, it may result in mental disorders also. That is why we should not go for such things. People talk so much about, oh, Kundalini Shakti, Kundalini Shakti. What Kundalini Shakti? It's only, it's amazing. It's a good, it's not the only thing. The whole Jagati Shakti. The whole Jagati Shakti only. And we see, when you consciously live a life of dharma, using your knowledge of right and wrong, using your will in conformity with dharma, having purushartha nischaya for jnanam, seeking Bhagavan's grace prayerfully to be able to live a life of dharma, I tell you, you can tap Bhagavan's grace, which is also Shakti. And you can tap all the Shaktis. You can get all the unreleased potential released. At every level, physical level, all the levels. And every small discipline you're practicing is what? Helping you manifest all the unmanifest energy. Helping you release the unreleased potential. So, everything is good. Everything has its own limitation. Everything becomes yajna if purushartha nischeha is there, you're committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Otherwise, everything becomes a mere exercise, which will help you to be calm and healthy physically for some time. There's no permanent solution. You will remain in samsara. There's no freedom possible. We'll continue next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.